Well, I want you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1167. And we're talking this morning about our missional footprint. We hear a lot about carbon footprints, right? You know what? What's your carbon footprint? What's your carbon footprint? Come on, what is it? I think it's probably a pretty difficult thing. Am I on this one? If I wander around, okay. Am I able to wander? Okay. You can't hear me. Good. Thank you. Carbon footprint. What is it? I didn't even realize it when I was doing a report. I think back in, it might have been 9th or 10th grade. I was ultimately talking about carbon footprints, but we were talking about the, greenhouse gases that create a, that basically create a bubble. And I remember I didn't even know where California was. I think that's probably pretty bad for a 9th or 10th grader. But when you live in Minnesota, who really cares about California anyway? And I didn't understand, you know, the mountains and these, how the mountains kept smog in. I honestly didn't really give a rip about it till the first month I moved out here. And it was a hot, horribly hot summer. And we drove out to visit Marilyn's sister up in San Jose. And as we drove, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, there's supposed to be mountains out there. And I couldn't see mountains, and it was just, the air was thick. The greenhouse gases, those evil things, were keeping all this stuff inside. And I notice now it seems to be a little bit cleaner now that we're spending more for gasoline, and we've got so much cleaner gasoline. Do I hear an amen? Okay. Sound a little less sincere, but that's okay. Just think of us as privileged to be able to pay so much more at the pump than the rest of the country. So now, that's a footprint that's supposed to be a negative footprint. What is it that I'm doing to contribute, and you are doing to contribute to these greenhouse gases? We're going to talk this morning about a very positive kind of footprint, and that is a missional footprint. Now, a missional footprint, I think, well, let's see, we support missionaries. Is that our missional footprint? Well, I suppose in some sense of the word, I mean, yeah, it is. It's part of what we're doing as we pray for missionaries. Yeah, it's definitely part of our, but, you know, and as we pray and then pay for them to do missions out there, you know, so that they keep the people that need to be reached, keep them out there. But a missional footprint is the footprint that we're responsible for, that God says, now I have you here in this community. I put you in the family that you're in. I'm responsible for that place where you work, that place that has people that come from all sorts of different spiritual journeys, that neighborhood, people coming from all different spiritual journeys. Some of them wouldn't even know that they're on a spiritual journey. But our missional footprint is literally how we are cooperating with God, all of us, individually, as a church. It's the missional footprint is what we're doing when we go out and hand out brochures to children and say, we have a wonderful Bible club for children. And it's starting up on Wednesday night. We have dinner for the family. And we want to encourage you to come and just be part of this. And we want to teach you about how important Jesus is for all of us. And that's part of our missional footprint, even just handing that out. Our missional footprint is an attitude that we carry when we leave here. Sometimes it's easy to refer. It's really easy to refer to Calvary's ministry on this corner. Well, Calvary has had a ministry on this corner for quite a few decades, hasn't it? But see, if we just think about our ministry on this corner, we're really missing probably the largest impact of the ministry of our church by God's way of seeing things. Because God's way of seeing things is, he said to his disciples, wherever you go, make disciples, make followers of me. Wherever you go. I want you to do a little, let's all just do a little, quick little, let's just kind of back up through our week. Where were you go? Where did you go this week? Where were you? Are you thinking? Can you see where you were this week? I'm going, oh, man, at my age, I can think back over this week. Oh, I forget everything. No, just think back over where have you been? We're going to consider this text a little bit later. I'm not going to tell you when that message is going to be, but it'll be this month. And we're going to think back over, you know, where have I been? So has my mindset been this week, wherever I go, I'm to be making disciples? And what's involved? If I've got a mindset that says I'm, you know, Jesus has placed me here, and his marching orders are make disciples. Was that part of my thinking this past week? Wherever I went. You see, our missional input or footprint is all about people who really take Jesus seriously and don't say, well, I did church today, you know, got it all wrapped up for this week by noon. See you next week. But missional footprint says, well, see, when I go to that restaurant, when I go to that store, when I go get my haircut, when I am anytime with people at the gym, you name it, back it up. Picture after picture after picture. That's where God's church is. I want you, I asked you to turn in your Bibles, and that's just all a little bit of a setup to this really important text at the end of Paul's little letter to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 2 through 6 as we consider our missional imprint or footprint. This is what Paul says from the New International Version. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I ought, or as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul's expression, be devoted to prayer, if you look at that first paragraph of your notes, I've got a little blank for you to fill in there. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. What does it mean to be devoted? A very, very simple explanation of that word, to be devoted, means to give your strength to something. To be devoted is to give your... If I'm devoted to... I am devoted to my wife. I'm devoted to my children. I'm devoted to my church, my ministry here. To be devoted means to literally give your strength to someone or some pursuit. To what have you been devoted this past week? Some of the things you might be devoted to, you might be giving your strength to home repair or to cleanup or to your job. You might have been devoted to somebody as you stayed on the phone and listened for, wow, you were devoted. Some of you were devoted. Wow, were you devoted to Facebook and social media this past week? You know, we devote ourselves, we give our strength to a variety of things. What does Paul say we're to devote ourselves to? What is it? It's right there. To prayer. Give your strength to prayer. Give the best that you have to praying. So how's that been this past week? Have you given? And by the way, when are you at your prime time for praying? You. I discovered something that I was thinking about exercise. Some of you know that I've mentioned it probably a couple times, my fiasco of joining a athletic club and being put through a Marine boot camp and taking the next 6 weeks to recover from that hour and a half program. But it was quite painful and continued to be for quite some time. And I may carry some of the scars for the rest of my life, actually. But I decided to go a week and a half ago. I decided to go to exercise. I normally get up at 5 in the morning, and I get out on the road and exercise, walk my 3 miles in the dark. Nobody really knows me. It's nice and peaceful. It's quiet. And so I decided, I'm just going to go over to this club and work out a little bit. And I discovered I don't like to exercise at a club early in the morning. I don't know what it was that was bugging me, but I just kind of think maybe it was that everybody seemed happy and cheery that was there. They were into the rhythm of exercising early in the morning, and they were, hey, how you been? Missed you the last couple weeks and on vacation. Yo, and I'm going, I know nobody. I really literally know nobody there right now, and they're all way too happy. I realized I'm for 2 hours every morning, I'm alone. I walk, I come back, read my Bible, have my coffee. 2 hours of not having to talk to anybody. Then my wife comes out in her bathrobe, and now I get to, I'm ready to talk, I think, and interact. But what, all that to say, when are you at your best? When are you at your best when it comes to being focused in prayer? Paul says, be devoted to prayer. And he's now in a very, very personal mode, and this will continue for the rest of this chapter. So Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, pay attention. Maybe it's morning, maybe it's afternoon, maybe it's during your coffee break during the day if you're still working, maybe it's at night just before you go to bed. That's the time when you've got all sorts of energy in prayer. But he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. And also, in the midst of all of this, being thankful. As we rehearse what God has been doing, who he is and what he's been doing. And then the very next words are, and pray also for us. Pray, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Here's the most prolific writer in the Bible who says, and by the way, pray for me. Here's a guy that doesn't seem to ever miss an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Whether he's in a large crowd, whether he's facing a hostile crowd, whether he's facing people that could instantly take his life, literally, and some who tried, he doesn't seem ever to miss an opportunity. But Paul says, pray for me and pray for open doors. And pray for me. Where is he praying? Where is he when he's writing this letter? He's in prison in Rome. He's not looking, well, he's probably thinking, I'll get out and I'll be able to go on another missionary journey. And some people think that he was released for a time and was able to go, and then he was called back to trial and ultimately to his own death. But pray for him. Pray for me that I'll have the opportunity to speak. Now, I think when there's all sorts of examples here. Ultimately, we should be praying for each other. If I said that we're scattering, here we are, We're on this corner. Please don't limit yourself to thinking that it's all about this corner. But we scatter. So here comes the question. Are we praying for each other, as we scatter? That have you prayed for somebody from our fellowship this past week that as they scatter, they will have opportunity to talk to people about Christ? When we talk about parents, parents have their children with them when they're little and all the way through their teens and maybe on into their early adult years. We pray for things like teachable moments. Here at the school, we pray for our teachers to recognize teachable moments when they now, maybe they're teaching about history, maybe they're teaching about math, or maybe they're teaching about writing. But you pray for teachable moments when the kids go, is that what you mean? And now a teacher can take that and run with it a little bit. Parents have teachable moments all the time. Some that they see, some that they recognize, and some that just went by. An observer might say, oh, just missed it. But we pray for, Paul is basically saying, pray for those teachable moments. Pray for those speakable moments that I'll have. Pray for the people in your life who find themselves in all sorts of different places. I think of Heidi Plug's grandpa Tyne. And probably one of the most picturesque things I can see is Tyne Hardiman, who was a missionary, who's been a missionary in the Philippines all of his life. And he loves to take his Catholic Bible out of his back pocket and because the Philippines, you know, that's the Bible, that Catholic Bible is the one that is approved by the Roman Catholic Church. And so if you're reading from that Bible, this has some special clout with people. And he talks about talking with a young man on a ferry boat ride from one island to another, just so naturally. It was a speakable moment. It was a teachable moment. And this young man gave his life to Christ as he turned him to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11, 12, and 13. And he had him read for himself the words that were there about who can know that they have eternal life. Pray for teachable moments. Not just for yourself. Pray for the people in this room. Pray for the people that are... Well, right now, Marilyn is up teaching the children. But pray that God would open doors. Open doors, like, is this open doors into the hearts and minds of people. I witnessed for myself our missionary, Tom, in East London, just on a bus. And he had approximately 4 minutes to open a little bit of a door. And in that time, he opened a door to speaking about Jesus and considering Jesus. Just opened it up. Just opened that. He just pushed on that door a little bit with a teenage girl, and standing right beside her was her mother. And he handed a book to her mom, and in the process said, you know, my wife, Barb, teaches English as a second language. And here in London, it's good for you to know the language of the land. And in East London, all sorts of people, this is a very valuable course. And just in 4 minutes, on a very short distance on that bus, taking an opportunity. Well, Tom's skilled, he knows what he's doing. We don't have to really bother praying for Tom anymore, right? Because he's got this sacked. No, pray for each other, pray for me. Paul was saying, you don't have to pray for Paul any longer. He's got it pretty good right now. But pray for other believers in Christ. I was talking to one of my pastor friends on Friday, Gary Basham. His son Troy used to be the youth pastor here, and he says, my brother, whose name is Skip, he says, Skip talks to any and everybody about Christ. He's not afraid to just, he said he was, He was working on his car, and he stopped into a little 7-Eleven, and he picked up two cans of Dr. Pepper, loves Dr. Pepper. And when he got back to his car, there were two young men that he might have been very much afraid of. And he said, I said, "You like Dr. Pepper?" And he handed one to one of them, and it opened up a time to talk about Jesus right there beside his car. And before he got his car repaired, he'd led both of those young guys to Christ. And it's just like, these kind of sound like, are you serious? This really happens? But Skip, every day, prays for open doors. And I know Gary joins in praying for his brother. So Paul says, pray for us also that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Can't you just see Paul saying, pray for me, I'm locked up here in Rome. I'm chained on one side to this person. I'm waiting to stand trial. Just pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. He says in verse 4, he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So what should we pray for? We pray for opportunity. Not just for ourselves, for the people in this room. I think of some really pretty amazing people in this room who will be in places this week that I will never be. I'll never be in those places. And praying for you, that you will have opportunity to help somebody in their journey. But pray also for clarity, that when I speak about Christ, I'll get to the point. This is what the world needs, for us to get to the point about who Jesus is. I made myself a note here, and what are the go-to truths that if you only had 3 minutes and you knew that these 3 minutes with somebody, these 3 minutes were might be the only opportunity that person would ever have to hear about Jesus. If you only had 3 minutes, what would be the go-to truths that you would want to get to? So anybody have a verse that you'd want to share? Just tell me, what would it be? You clearly want to say this. What would it be? Say it again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. They might even join in with you, but then again, this might be a totally new revelation. Somebody else, another verse that you might want to make sure that you communicated. Say it loud. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Yep, super. Wow, somebody lacking hope right now might absolutely need to hear that. And by the way, I got to go now. It might be in your 3 minutes. That's all you have, and they might have shared. I feel hopeless right now, and you've got a little thing. You know, God has plans for you. Do you know that? God has plans for you. Well, we need to know and rehearse and meditate. What are the things that I would want to communicate to anybody and just anybody and everyone? What are the go-to truths? Some of you know that Marilyn's dad had a heart episode like the weekend after he retired at 72 years old. He was working in the garden. His wife had projects for him. His heart started to act up. He stayed home for a month, and then he went to an FCA banquet, and all he was going to do was just do a little drawing for a free trip for a young athlete. And he said, you know, before I sit down, I just want to share with you my favorite verse. And it was the last verse he would ever say. But he got to say the verse that Susie said, John 3:16. And he shared that with a group of young guys, and then he cashed in on that verse. Cashed in. Everlasting life with his Savior. And so Paul says, pray for opportunities. Pray that not only will we have the opportunities, but we'll recognize the opportunities. And pray for me. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, pray for me, and I'll say this, and I'll ask you, please, pray for me, your pastor, that I'll have opportunities and that I will recognize them and not just be too wrapped up with what I'm interested in doing and not recognize the opportunity. Pray for me. One of my prayer warriors who prayed for me every single day is now face to face with Jesus. And so I'd say pray for me, that I'll have opportunities and that I'll recognize them. And pray that I'll be perfectly clear, as Paul says. And then he talks about being wise in the way we act toward outsiders. He says, this is verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Outsiders. Who is he talking about? He's talking about people that absolutely don't know Jesus. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of it. Be wise. We need to pray, folks, every day for ourselves and for each other, that we'll be wise in the way we act toward people who are not don't know Christ. You know, as Paul was saying this, I'm thinking about this. Who were his captors? They were the Romans. They were Gentiles. What did Gentiles think? What was the reputation that Christians had in Paul's day? That they, people who were not insiders, what did people think about Christians? Did you know that they had accusations that they were cannibals? Why did they think they were cannibals? Well, what's this about right here? They said, these are the people who eat flesh and drink blood. These are the flesh that eat flesh. Seriously, I'm not making this up. They thought they had a reputation of being cannibals, or at least to the point that they were mocked for all of this, their supposed cannibalism. Christians today are sadly, today in our country, are more known for our politics. That we are known for our being a voting bloc in this country. Not necessarily a very effective one, but a voting bloc. And but Paul says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. So how do the people around us, around you, and around the people in this congregation, how are we acting around them? What are we carrying out to them? Are we people that listen more than we speak? Are we people that care more than we tell people we care? They know that we care. Are there people that out there, what's our reputation? Are we wise in the way we serve people and reach our hand out toward them? Are we people that show that we're thankful when people serve us? Are we people that are wise in the way we act toward the people around us? This is all about being missional. Being missional. You see, it's not I'm missional because I prayed for missionaries in another place. I'm missional because I'm praying and participating with the people in my place here as to how we get the word out. And then Paul concludes in verse 6 of this paragraph when he says, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversations be always pleasant, attractive, winsome, rather than in your face, infidel. That we have a Savior who knows our greatest needs, as evidenced by the cross, as evidenced by the sacrifice that he made, as evidenced by God putting an exclamation point on this fact. We really need him. We sang a song this morning. It was the first newer song that Dan just taught us this morning. And in there was a line, and I was thinking, I heard that line last week when we heard the testimonies of 9 people. I heard this from one of our one of the people that we'll vote on next week, and he said, "While I came to Christ quite a while back, I wasn't I wasn't living it, but I was acting like, and I guess I really believed in my heart that I could do something. Even after I came to Christ, I was acting like and probably believed that I could do something to earn God's grace. And I can't. It was so beautiful. I can't earn His grace. When Paul says, he said, let your speech always be full of grace. And if it's going to be full of grace, it's going to come from a heart that is humble. It's humble and realizes that I'm not out ahead of you now because I'm so much better than you. I just got something to share with you how far God would go for me and for you. He talks about may our speech always be full of grace, and then he speaks about that speech as being seasoned with salt. Now there are lots of different, it's just amazing all the different words that are used to describe that. Some say that salt refers to the purifying effect that salt has. Some would say it has to do with the flavor. Some would say that, like the Greeks would say, salt gave zest and liveliness to conversations. But ultimately, the bottom line of this is that our speech is to be, we are to cultivate speech that is will be appropriate for the person, and for the moment to hopefully attract them to Jesus. How do you cultivate a speech like that? That is full of grace and seasoned with salt. I want to encourage a little exercise for you. And the exercise is this. Get in a habit. This is a habit that you can develop on your own. But it's listening to people, especially when they're telling something about their spiritual journey. You might ask them, like I often do, so tell me about your spiritual journey. When you ask them the question, listen. Last week, I said we were privileged to listen to the spiritual journey, that we call it around here a testimony of how did God get a hold of your life. We listened to 9 people who we will present this next week. And we listened to their stories, and every single one of them was very, very different from the other. And every single story was, in my opinion, was an absolute wow. Look what God did. With some, He started young and then continued to unfold as that person, as that child grew. But with each one, God was crafting His grace being impressed upon their hearts so that they would begin a relationship with Him and grow in that relationship with Him. And here's the challenge. Make it a habit of life to listen to each other. One of our growth groups has every once in a while, maybe once a year or every other year, they ask their group, let's tell our story as to how we came to Christ. And the group will take 1 week for each person, which takes quite a few weeks. What an amazing thing as they hear how God began a work and is continuing His work of grace. Get in the habit of caring about how other people came to Christ. Why? So that you'll understand that God is truly, truly at work in this world. And get in the habit of doing this so you'll know, I need to be praying that God will show us more and more that He really is at work. And get in the habit of praying for me and for each other that He will open doors of opportunity, that we will see and hear those opportunities, that we will be very clear as we talk about Jesus, and take advantage of every opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us a missional footprint here in this immediate community and in the places where we live and work, the families in which we're involved. I pray, Father, that we would be very, very faithful to pray for each other. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would remind me and would remind my friends here to pray that we'll have the impact. And I pray, Father, that if we're not mindful of it, I pray that you'd light a fire under us. That day after day, we need to support each other in prayer because the battle is going on right now. So, Lord, we pray for opportunities. We pray that we'll recognize them. We pray that we will be clear, very clear, that we'll watch the way we act toward those who don't know you, and that our conversation will always be full of grace. We pray this in Jesus' name.